KBBI's Evening News is supported by Homer Real Estate, bringing buyers and sellers together for over 40 years from Nanilchik, Happy Valley, Anchor Point, Homer, and across Catchback Bay. All current area listings are online at homerrealestate.com or by calling 907-235-5294.
Today is Thursday, January 15th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Evening News. And first up, it's been almost a year since Glenfarne Group LLC took over development of the Alaska LNG project. And since then, it's netted a handful of non-binding agreements from companies tentatively interested in becoming natural gas customers. But where others have come from places like Taiwan and Japan, The latest comes from a company that does business in Alaska. Donlin Gold LLC and Glenfarne announced a non-binding early-stage agreement last week. Under it, Glenfarne would lend Donlin its pipeline expertise, and Donlin would buy natural gas from Glenfarne. According to a press release, Donlin would buy 50 million cubic feet of natural gas from the Alaska LNG project each day. That's about 1.5% of the project's daily capacity. Glenfarne says adding new commercial natural gas customers brings potential costs down for all buyers. While Glenfarne's been working on the gas line, Donlin's been trying to get its own project off the ground, and it thinks Glenfarne may be able to help. Separate from Glenfarne's massive, roughly 800-mile gas line, Donlin is proposing its own, smaller natural gas pipeline that would power operations at its proposed gold mine in southwest Alaska. But neither the Alaska gas line nor the Donlin gold mine are a sure thing. Donlin's waiting for a feasibility study before deciding whether to move forward, and Glenfarne hasn't decided to develop the pipeline yet either. A natural gas pipeline that spans the state has been floated for decades, but it's long been stymied by a steep price tag. The most recent cost estimate puts it around $44 billion, but that's an old number. So Glenfarne enlisted a private company to update that estimate. Last week, a Glenfarne spokesperson said the update is complete, but Glenfarne won't publish the new cost, and Glenfarne hasn't decided whether it's actually going to move forward with development. Initially, the company said to expect a development decision by the end of 2025. Now, a development decision on the pipeline is expected in the coming weeks. And in other news, Seward's annual Polar Bear Jump and other community fundraising events for cancer research will take place in Seward this weekend. Emily Springer spoke with organizers in Seward and has this story.
The Seward Polar Bear Jump has been a tradition in Seward for over 40 years. The first jump was held in 1986, and in 1987 it was organized specifically to raise funds for cancer research. It's based on the Saturday event of jumpers who raise $1,000 in support of the American Cancer Society's mission to save lives from cancer. Jumpers dress in costumes and plunge into the Seward Small Boat Harbor starting at 12:30 p.m. on Saturday. The event is partially coordinated by Annette Vrolik, Senior Development Manager with the American Cancer Society located in Anchorage. The Seward Chamber of Commerce is also contributing to the event by creating an auction fundraiser that will take place at Tony's Bar in Seward, starting at 5:30 p.m. on Friday, January 16th. This year, the community fundraising efforts will also support Katie's Handprint. The mission statement for this organization reads, "Katie's Handprint is an Alaskan organization deeply committed to supporting local families. We understand that the battle against childhood cancer impacts the entire family, and we are here to assist those currently facing this difficult journey. In Alaska, seeking medical treatment often presents unique challenges, such as the need to travel for care or even relocate the entire family to Anchorage or out of state. Katie's Handprint aims to alleviate the financial burden of these challenges, allowing families to focus on what truly matters, caring for their child and one another. More information about Katie's Handprint can be found on their website, www.katieshandprint.org. One thing that has been an issue in Anchorage over the past week is extreme snowfall impacting road conditions, but Vrolik noted that the Seward Highway should be relatively clear for the 120-mile drive. There are currently 86 people registered for the event, and most of them are members of a team effort, with 25 total teams participating. According to Vrolik, Anchorage resident Vern Johnson has been participating in the event for over 25 years and is a member of the 8 Balls team. That team has currently raised $3,766 in donations. As of last Thursday, the event had raised a total of $78,000 with a goal of $265,000. Seward Chamber of Commerce Communications Coordinator Liz Marsh commented on some of the other events in Seward that will be part of the weekend.
So on Friday night, before the jump, Tony's Bar is hosting a live and silent auction. And that's going to be pretty exciting because a 2026 Mount Marathon bib is going to be auctioned off. And that is a hot commodity. So that'll be really exciting. We also are going to be auctioning off like ski passes, a big load of gravel or topsoil from Netco. A lot of like local art and handmade goods, travel excursions, outdoor excursions. So I think that will be a lot of fun. And then on Saturday, there's the polar bear parade before where all the jumpers can show off their costumes. And that'll happen from the Sea Life Center up towards the small boat harbor. That's about half an hour before the jump starts at 11:30. And then that afternoon, Sports and Recreation with the City of Seward is putting on a polar bear carnival for all the kiddos from 1 to 4. So that they have like bounce houses and obstacle courses and all sorts of booths. So that's always really fun.
Seward's American Legion is putting on a steak night on both Friday and Saturday evening, starting at 4 p.m. And all the funds from that will go to Katie's Handprint. The weekend events finish on Sunday morning with a sunrise luminary advance where people can light a luminary in honor of a loved one who has faced cancer. That event will be held at the Bronson Pavilion on the Waterfront Park near Seward Sea Life Center. Homer resident Christy Bond Hill has participated in the polar bear jump 22 times since the event first started in the 1980s. She shared her motivation for jumping and what she has done to raise money in the past.
My mom's a cancer survivor. I've got a lot of family that's passed due to cancer. Well, friends that have had cancer and either beat it or passed from it.
What did you do to raise money?
I asked everybody I knew, every single business, every single person, and I didn't care if they said yes or no. You know, I did take a dollar. If they didn't have any money, they're like, hey, you got a dollar in your pocket? I'll take it. And I've raised over $250,000 in 22 years. And a quarter million.
Bond Hill also mentioned longtime participant Vern Johnson.
I watched Vern, of course. Vern and his son jumped for the first time, and they're the eight balls. Vern Johnson's team's the eight balls. And then his son's team are the donut holes. And his son has cerebral palsy, I believe. And he's jumped the last, like, 4 years now, too. It was crazy. Just, it's so funny, because he'll go out there in his walker, and then his dad just grabs him and bloops him in the water. And then they drag him back and help him out. It's super funny. I love it. I love that kid. Ryan's a good guy.
For more information and exact timing of events in Seward, visit the webpage SeawardPolarBearJump.com. Reporting from Homer, this is Emily Springer.
And that's it for tonight's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 Homer, 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201AO, and online at kbbi.org. A heads up, tonight's Homer Community Choir meeting has been canceled due to the weather. Coming up tonight on KBBI at 7 p.m. is the mixtape with Joe. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., Slacktide. And at 1 p.m. Potluck with Dave Eckward, at 7 p.m. Baking Friday, hosted by David Snyder, and at 9 p.m. Blues Etc., hosted by J.O. Thanks for listening, and good evening.